Well, it is Saturday, and this is Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan.
Damn right.
I am Rashad Taylor. If you're just now joining us, behind the glass is my guy, Jordan Schultz.
Damn right. What's going on?
Man, we are almost to football, man. We got some football on TV, which is fun to watch for about 7 or 8 minutes.
I'm kind of Isaac Ropp on this. Like, it's hard to watch preseason.
I try. I give it 7 to 8 minutes.
I will watch the highlights because we got to know what's going on. So, like, the Seahawks-Chiefs last night, right? It's my wife's birthday this week, and we just got back from Boston, so it is
so
not...
So you don't give a damn about Seahawks-Chiefs week 2 preseason?
Well, if you have a wife out there and you want to continue to have that wife, let me just give you a piece of little advice there to husbands out there. Don't watch a Friday night preseason game when you could be doing something with your wife, okay? Whether it be mommy and daddy time, or a date, or just a walk around the freaking neighborhood, anything is better than preseason football.
Yeah, okay. You definitely don't want to be stuck watching preseason football right now. Well, yesterday was kind of a weird looking day outside. So if there's any day that you did want to get stuck inside watching preseason, it was probably yesterday. But
that's all good.
But I don't really pay attention to preseason. I do pay attention to college, however.
Yeah.
And so college is right around the corner. The Oregon Ducks last season had an amazing debut in the Big Ten.
Yes, sir.
So good, in fact, that they went ahead and won the entire thing in the Big Ten. They didn't win the national championship. They end up losing to what I will say is probably their going to be the second biggest rivalry in this conference, you know, all of a sudden, which is Oregon and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State is always going to be the one in the Big Ten. But I think Oregon Ohio State is going to be one of those games that you just have to see every year for the next like 20 years or so.
I mean, I'm trying to temper my expectations for 2025 because Oregon had such an explosive start to their career in the Big Ten, and obviously with a new quarterback under center, they've got DeCorey Moore coming in. They've got a great young running back as well, but there's just things that they're going to have to tinker with and figure out, and I think that's probably going to take 4, 5, 6 games, you know, into the season until Dante Moore figures it out. But hey, I'm excited for the season. We've got 2 weeks literally from today is the start of Ducks football, and we're gearing up for it. There's a lot of pieces like DeCorey Moore that we got to talk about, like the insertion of Dante Moore this year. This is the third season in a row that Oregon will have a new starting quarterback. So there's just some things that hopefully the team has settled into and they've gotten all the kinks worked out in spring, you know, football and training camp now. But a lot of storylines to watch, and definitely I would say Dan Lanning's biggest challenge to this point as Ducks head coach, because not only do you got all these guys coming in that you have to install and work out and get settled, but you're coming off of what was probably your best season as a head coach. And
probably
you suffered a massive defeat in a game that you shouldn't have. And I think there are still questions lingering. How can Dan Lanning recover that recover from that? That Ohio State game in the playoff, man, it was embarrassing.
It was ugly.
If you want to go back and talk about ugly. Like, remember, Oregon did not show up for the entire first half, was not able to get get anything going. It's like they showed up basically walking in 2 feet of cement already. Was it the players? Was it the coaches who wasn't prepared? Not sure, but I hope that Dan Lanning has learned from that, and we see an even stronger team. I guess that's kind of the only thing we can hope for going into 2025.
Right? Oh, man, like, I expect the Ducks to take a small step back. I don't think it's going to be a couple steps backwards, but I do expect them to not be as great as they were last year. But to start the season, they have a great chance to get off on an awesome note. So they start the season with Montana State. And that's a win. Oklahoma State, that's a win. Northwestern, probably a win. And then the Civil War at home against Oregon State. That's probably a win as well.
Yeah.
Right? So that's 4 wins in a row. And then the biggest test for Oregon all season is going to be when they visit Penn State on the 27th of September.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be it'll be game of the week, more than likely. And Penn State, who's number 2 in the country this year so far to start the season, looks like they could be the team to beat in the Big Ten this year.
Absolutely.
I think this year it's definitely and Drew Aller is their quarterback, correct?
Yes.
So Drew Aller in this squad, were close last year, right? They had, and obviously you throw in And I'm forgetting my guy who is the defensive end.
Abdul Carter,
excuse me.
Yeah, he's gone.
But... Yeah, you throw in the fact that he's gone. Maybe that leaves a little bit of hole, but if you're Penn State, you just reload. So there's probably another Abdul Carter somewhere in the mix there. Maybe he plays linebacker this year. Maybe he plays defensive end. We're not sure, but we know Penn State likes to kind of load up on those guys. That might be the one loss that they have during this run. You know, potentially two in between there. That's what I'm looking at the schedule right now, and it's very, very winnable. There are two games in between there that could be weird, which is the Penn State game, and then the next week they play Indiana, which last year no one expected anything from Indiana.
Nope.
Right? And then they made it all the way to the playoff. So this is a team that shouldn't be overlooked by anyone, especially Oregon fans.
20th in the preseason poll.
Yeah, you know, so there is a good chance they can come in there and break some hearts right there. But I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. Yeah. I expect them to beat Washington, but they can always stub their toe at Washington. USC, I also expect them to beat them. So
and USC coming to Autzen this year, too.
USC coming to Autzen, which will be in November. That'll be a great game. So I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm saying 10-2 at this point. I do still expect them to make the playoff.
Yeah, I see, the number 7 ranking, if you look at the preseason poll that came out a couple of days ago, Oregon is at number 7 and actually got one first-place vote in that. So there are many national pundits that still view Oregon as a threat to get to the college football playoff and possibly the national championship game as well, which, I mean, they got a strong defense coming back. They've, you know, still got guys on the offensive line there, but there are just too many questions, in my opinion, to put them just guaranteed in the top 10. I kind of think that's maybe playing more to what they did last season than what they could be doing. And yeah, outside, you look at the schedule, outside of like Penn State and Indiana, I think that last game against Washington, it's a trap game, just like the Civil War always was, because you're coming into November, it's getting cold, you're on the road this year facing the Huskies, they're a Big Ten rival once again, just like they were in the Pac-12 as a rival, so you don't lose that I-5 rivalry feel, and you just got to make sure everybody's ready. But one thing I do like about this season as compared to last is you miss Ohio State. That's the beauty of playing in the Big Ten with 18 teams.
You miss Michigan?
Yeah, you can't play big teams every single year. You miss Michigan State as well, and they're trying to recover. So honestly, I'd be more scared about playing Michigan State this season than I was last season. Jonathan Smith, I'm pretty sure there's some blood in the water there, and he is sniffing, trying to get his career right. There were a lot of questions about him making that leap to Michigan State last year after their season. So they're going to be playing hard. Glad that they missed them. And like you said, Michigan as well probably got a bad taste in their mouth from the $30 million of fines that they just got levied from that whole sign-stealing scandal when they won the title, which wasn't stripped, but I would say $30 million. That's a pretty big fine. That's more than college teams have to spend on their salary caps for a season. But outside of those two games that you said, Rashad, yeah, possibly Penn State, possibly Indiana. Oregon goes to Rutgers. Like, that's not really a trap game. They go to Iowa. That's not really a trap game, but they are tough because they're road games. They're in places that Oregon has never been before or hasn't been for a long time. And that's the one thing I think we were concerned about with the transition of routines from last year into the Big Ten. You know, oh, all these new travel schedules, is that going to get to these guys? No, absolutely not. And now we're seeing that again in year two. Destinations that haven't been on the calendar before, I don't think it's going to matter as much. I think, yeah, outside of really, I honestly think even Indiana coming into Oregon, even ranked 20th in the preseason poll, I think that's a win for Oregon. I would go further than you, Rashad. I would say that, yeah, I'll mark Oregon at Penn State September 27th as a loss. But man, going down the rest of the schedule, yeah, I think they can win the rest of their games, even with the new quarterback. They got weapons. I know that it sucks that they lost Gary Bryant Jr. for this year, but I still think they can do it.
Okay, so Jordan has the Ducks going 11-1. I've got them going 10-2. Hopefully they're closer to you, Jordan, and they go ahead and go 11-1. I want them to run the board. That would be awesome, and I think if they can get past Penn State, they have a great opportunity to go yard and just run the board. So we'll see. Let's talk about the rest of the Big Ten when we come back. Ohio State is obviously the team to beat in the Big Ten, but their schedule is crazy to start. First game of the season against Texas. So what do we expect from Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten? We'll talk about that next right here. Sports Saturday, 105.1 The Fan. Have you been watching that thing on Netflix about the SEC?
No, I need to.
I started watching it. I made it like 8 minutes. I was like, yeah, I can't do this.
It's just SEC honking.
Man, they love themselves so much in the SEC. But I mean, they were really dominant for a lot of years. And so
football is life.
Makes sense. It absolutely is. You've been down south before, I assume.
No.
It's a different beast. It really is. Like, you know,
I've only heard about it.
No, yeah, they breed football. That's all they do. And if you're growing up to be anything other than a football player, there's a good chance that you're disowned. You've seen all the Texas football movies and stuff. Like, yeah, you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real thing.
No, it's good thing your uniform is red, so the blood's not going to show up in it. Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, yeah. Yes, it is all passion, all football, all the time. There are high school football stadiums that are as big as professional stadiums around the rest of the country down south. Like, I know what the SEC thinks that they are, and frankly, they're probably right.
Yeah, they are, but I don't think they're the only region that knows how to play football, because the Midwest is pretty good as well. Ohio State, again, coming into the season, they're not number one, but they're damn close. What, Ohio State is third?
Yeah, Ohio State's right behind Penn State in the preseason poll.
They have a very good chance of taking over the number one spot if first game of the season on August 30th. They can beat Texas at home, 9 a.m. kick here in the Northwest. Man, Ohio State has everything that you would want your team to have. I think Oregon kind of found that out the hard way during the playoff last year. You know, and even during the initial game they played them in the season – that was a tough game. And remember, it came down to a last-second field goal, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some mistakes by Ohio State's quarterback down the stretch. So there's a lot of things that kind of worked in Oregon's favor. And then they got their chance to go back to the well, and they completely boat-raced Oregon, you know, in the playoff. And I don't think any of us expected that. But maybe we should have, because we didn't see the best Ohio State team in that first game against Oregon.
Oh, well, no, and they used that game against Oregon to essentially kind of ramp back up and play the best football that I think Ryan Day has ever freaking coached. Yeah. I mean, he coached himself into legend status. It's kind of crazy how in college football you can go from being on the hot seat to now being one of the, you know, greatest heralded coaches of our time. But that's what Ryan Day did to himself last year. I mean, hey, I know they've lost these guys, but Treshawn Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Trevion Henderson. Of course, you've got two very talented wide receivers left over from there. One's gone. You're looking for a new quarterback after Will Howard left, but he was kind of an insert in that last year, right, after coming over from Kansas State. So even with that competition, I think it's Julian Sain and Lincoln Kleinholz, I can't remember his name, are competing for the starting job. It just speaks to how prestigious this Ohio State team still is and the talent that they've still got on this roster, that despite a quarterback competition, it doesn't matter. Ryan Day, coming off of his first ever championship, expected, or at least close to expected, to be the best team in the league. Going to be hard to seat Texas in Arch Manning, or unseat Texas in Arch Manning, though. But yeah, Ryan Day, man, using basically Oregon's loss, or the loss to Oregon, as a jumping pad to that championship. Yeah, I think that makes them one of the scariest teams in the conference for the rest of the decade.
I honestly thought Ryan Day was on his way to be fired.
That's what a lot of people thought.
After you keep losing to Michigan, like this 4 years in a row or something like that, or three, you keep losing to Michigan, you're going to get fired. Like, that's just, if you're Ohio State, you can win every game, you win the national championship, but if you lose to Michigan that many times, you eventually get fired. The best thing that could have happened to him is he went on to win the national championship this past year. But Julian Sain, who is their new quarterback, he is a transfer redshirt freshman coming from
– yeah, sophomore, come from? I think.
Yeah, where is he coming from? Come from Alabama.
Come from Alabama.
So clearly that kid knows how to play football. And as long as you have Jeremiah Smith at the X position out there, he's the biggest mismatch from the wide receiver position.
He literally could have been in the NFL draft this year.
Yeah, and would have been a top five pick.
Yeah,
easily. You know, and so, and I'm knocking on wood, as long as this kid can stay healthy, he has an opportunity to be arguably the best college receiver we've ever seen.
I mean, Ohio State at the top of the conference, at the top of the entire college football rankings. Are you surprised?
No.
So them and Penn State and Oregon, three of the best teams in college football, once again, most likely going to be at the top of the conference. And, Yeah, outside of Michigan, that was basically the story last season, right? Michigan a little bit lower, but hey, they could play themselves into contention later in the conference season as well. So exciting, and frankly, once again, with Oregon having to replace some of those holes, it kind of makes me more nervous with the other teams in this conference, even though they're not facing them. Like, what happens if Oregon makes a conference championship? Are they even going to be competitive against an Ohio State or against a Penn State later in the season?
And speaking of Penn State, we'll wrap it up with talking about them, man. Penn State is the number one team, or excuse me, the number two team in the country right now. Again, I think they have everything that you would want your team to have. And the one thing I love most about Penn State is James Franklin. I absolutely love that coach. I love his temperament. I love that he likes to have fun with his team, and he'll bring in Keegan-Michael Key to kind of do the whole, you know, I'm Coach Franklin thing and everything like that. He wants to keep it light for his team, but when it's time to go out there and play football, he knows exactly what to do out there. I think he's one of the best X's and O's guys in all of college football, and he keeps getting these game-changing players, you know, behind him. So I think – really, if they can, they've got two games on their schedule, which is Ohio State and Indiana, Oregon. They got three games on their schedule that could go weirdly for them. I don't really know what to make of Penn State right now. I think they're going to be good. I'm looking at their schedule saying there's no reason they shouldn't at least try to run the board, but I think the Oregon game, the Ohio State game would be the two little thorns in the side of this Nittany Lions team. But I do still think they will make it to the playoff. The Big Ten is going to have three teams in the playoff, at least three teams. Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, I think are all going to make the playoff.
I can't disagree with you in the slightest. They lost Tyler Warren on the Penn State end last year. Probably, I mean, outside of Jeremiah Smith, one of
so
the
good.
Best offensive players
so good.
In he all of college
couldn't
football.
Couldn't be tackled at all.
I'm excited to see him in the NFL and what he can do for the Colts this season. But there's a couple of guys that they've been looking at to replace his production. I believe Theo Johnson, that was his name. He was a guy that was already on the roster, had some big plays for them last year. And then this four-star kid, Pierce Peterson, I think is his name, or Peterson. I've read his name. I've seen it. I haven't heard it said. I'm not a big Penn State highlights guy, but looks like they're going to have, just like they do at Ohio State, all the key pieces to replace, you know, all those holes. So that's once again why they're at the top, 2-3 now in the top five, with teams that had major losses in their last season coming into now. Like, obviously, people don't think it matters in the national media. And yeah, you talk about James Franklin, what he can do. Sounds like he's going to make lemonade out of lemons or whatever he has to deal with. And heck, even leading up to this point, it sounds like guys on the roster were waiting for Tyler Warren to leave. We're waiting for Abdul Carter to leave. They've already got these holes filled, and according to Franklin, I did hear him say in the offseason, they've had a plan in place to fill these holes for a while. So look at Penn State, man. Watch out.
And the one hole they don't have to fill is at the trigger man, because you have one of the best college quarterbacks in the nation in Drew Aller as your starting quarterback, man. He's a big guy. He's 235. He's 6'4", 6'5", something like that. Like, kid, he's a beast, you know? And so, and we saw what he was able to do last year. Really, again, quietly one of the best quarterbacks in the nation last year. The numbers wouldn't have told you 24 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
He just doesn't throw as much.
No, he doesn't throw as much, but now I expect him to, as a senior leader, I expect Drew Aller to air it out just a little bit more than maybe he did this past year.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if they're going to switch a little bit more to the air attack. I feel like that is something in college football that they do a lot more than NFL teams. They're just willing to, you know, get it out over the top and run the shotgun a lot. But that's not quite how Penn State works. They're under center a lot. They're really, you know, run it up the gut, kind of like Ohio State was with such a two-headed attack in Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, just star-studded. Same thing at Penn State this year, man. They're going to lean on those weapons that they had, and Drew Aller isn't going to have to be the guy. It was what I said last year when Oregon played Penn State, that they were elevated by Dillon Gabriel. To me, Penn State isn't elevated by Drew Aller. It's the scheme, it's the system that Franklin and his OC have.
Give me one team from the Big Ten that we haven't talked about that you think could potentially make the playoff this year.
You know what? I know nobody's talking about it, but I think if Michigan State can go on a run, they have an opportunity to at least get to the conference championship, and here's why. Jonathan Smith is reeling for the first time, I think, in his career as a head coach, right? He was the heralded guy making the jump from Oregon State to Michigan State. But he brought his quarterback with him. Like, there are pieces there that I think, you know, after making that transition are allowing him to feel a bit more comfortable in year two as opposed to year one. Watch out for Jonathan Smith. Watch out for Michigan State. I think they can make a difference.
The team I'm going to say, and I think it's going to shock a lot of people, is Illinois.
Okay.
Illinois last year got 10 wins, and they return a lot of kids from that 10-win team all of a sudden. They've got a great young quarterback and a veteran quarterback and Luke Altmaier, you know, so that could be a big thing for them. They got a really good offensive line, so I think Illinois could be one of those teams that really nobody's talking about right now. They're the 12th team in the nation, right? But nobody's really giving them a whole lot of credit for, you know, because they're Illinois, and who really knows them as being a football powerhouse, especially in this Big Ten. So I do think Illinois could be one of those teams that sneaks into the playoff as like the fourth team from the Big Ten.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. So there it is. Football, college football. Let's talk some more college football. So I saw this list. They came out with an AP all-time college football team. You might be kind of surprised on who's on both first and second teams for this thing. So we'll talk about that next. But first, Jordan has sports. Sports Saturday. We're almost there, man. 10:35 on this beautiful Saturday, the 16th. My mom is having a little birthday party today. So
sounds fun, man.
Should be good. She turned 60. It's crazy. Happy birthday.
That's a big one. Happy birthday, and thank you for the invite. I appreciate that.
No, of course, man. You know, always got to invite the homies out. So, as I was kind of preparing for the show, I'm flipping through everything, trying to find, you know, top stories and everything like that. I think we got to most of them. But the one thing I did see, which was interesting to me, to say the least, was the Associated Press is celebrating their 100th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, right. And so they've decided to choose an All-American teams for over the past 100 years. And some of the names may shock you. So I'm just going to ask you this. Jordan Schultz, who is a college football fan, who do you think the first team quarterback was for this AP all-time All-American team?
What? Yeah. So this is all-time,
all-time All-American team, right? So who do you think that the Associated Press chose as the first team all-time All-American quarterback?
I mean, we're going back to like Johnny Unitas. What the hell are we doing here?
I'll spoil it for you.
Like what? I mean, is it like that or like some idiot like Tim Tebow on it?
It's
like,
Tim Tebow.
No,
it's Tim Tebow. The Associated Press chose Tim Tebow as the best quarterback of the past 100 years.
What? I was half joking when I said that.
You were absolutely right. You should have joked more often because you were absolutely right. So Tim Tebow got the nod. As from first team, the running backs are Barry Sanders, 1988, and Herschel Walker. Receivers, Randy Moss, Larry Fitzgerald. No big surprise there. Tight end, Brock Bowers. That's where it starts to get a little like, oh, okay. I like Brock Bowers, but do I think he was better than Jeremy Shockey? I don't know. Like, we'll see. But that's, you know, for somebody else to debate. The offensive tackles were Orlando Pace, Bill Frolick. Obviously, John Hanna and Jim Parker.
For guards. Oh, and Chuck Bednarik for center. See, that makes sense.
Yeah, Especially Orlando Pace. Yeah, Orlando Pace, Sebastian Janikowski, you know, and then Johnny Rogers is all-purpose. So
Larry Fitzgerald was on the cover of NCAA football in 04, I believe.
So and, was a cover of Madden.
Was he?
At one point, yeah.
Good for him. Larry Fitzgerald, he was, yes, in his Cardinals uniform.
I think he might be the only guy that's been on the cover of
both.
Of both. Yeah, was Mike Vick on the cover of college?
No, was Reggie Bush on the cover
he
of
was not.
The NFL at
he
all?
He was not.
Then no, I believe Larry Fitzgerald might be the only one to hold that honor. That's crazy.
The first team defense is Hugh Green, Randy White.
You see the kicker, by the way?
I do.
Yeah, Sebastian Janikowski. I love that.
It makes a lot of sense. I love Sebastian Janikowski, man. Portland's own Ndamukong Suh.
Yes.
Made the team. Dick Butkus, Derek Thomas, Chris Spielman. Corners are Charles Woodson and none other than primetime Deion Sanders, Ronnie Lott, and Ed Reed. number one, that secondary is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Woodson, Deion Sanders, Ronnie Lott, Ed Reed.
Good Lord.
That's insane, you know, right there. The second team is probably a little more interesting than the first, though. Quarterback is Vince Young.
See, I like that choice.
Vince Young, it's easy to forget how good he was and how he pretty much carried that Texas team.
Actually, he also might have been on the cover of both Madden and NCAA college football.
He was.
Yes.
He was.
So him and Larry Fitzgerald, that distinctive honor.
Yeah. Vince Young, I remember watching that national championship game against USC. And USC had, I want to say it was like 17 All-Americans or something like that from the offense and defense. They had all these things. They had the Heisman winner. They just didn't have Vince Young. And Vince Young completely, that was one of the best performances I still to this day have ever seen in a college football game. Here's the big surprise for me. Archie Griffin is on the second team. And it's weird because how does the only two-time Heisman winner make the second team?
You go back to the first team, the running backs are Barry Sanders and Herschel Walker.
Yeah, and Barry was great in college. Barry was amazing.
And so was Herschel Walker.
So was Herschel.
But Archie Griffin was the only back-to-back Heisman winner.
Yeah.
How do you not include him in the first team instead of the second?
Know.
Like, are we going stats? Are we saying that the 80s were tougher to run in than the 70s in college
football?
Because
if that's the case, if I'm being honest, if that's the case, where is O.J. Simpson?
I mean, and
if
just,
we're, I mean,
if we're if going we're, just player.
If we're going just player college,
not, yeah,
just college,
yeah,
pre
good,
all the weird
that's
stuff.
A good point.
Where is O.J. Simpson?
Like, you got to include the guys on here that
unfortunately,
are A-holes, but you got
yeah, it's
yeah.
unfortunate. Also, no Reggie Bush on this list, which, again, I would probably disagree with because for 3 years, Reggie Bush was excitement. He was a video game.
I know the second running back on the second team offense is Tony Dorsett. This is Pitt in 1976. Obviously, wasn't around. Don't remember that.
But it's Tony Dorsett.
But I would venture a guess that Reggie Bush was much better than Tony Dorsett overall, and that he should be included instead of Dorsett.
Probably yeah. So. The wide receivers for the second team, Devontae Smith and Desmond Howard. Again, really easy to forget how good Devontae Smith was in college. Heisman winner from the receiver position. How many of those exist?
Exactly. And Desmond Howard, the Heisman guy, the pose.
The pose. Like,
we know.
The reason that you get into the end zone at that point and knock that pose out is because of Desmond Howard. So,
but don't you think that, like, Jeremiah Smith for the Ohio State Buckeyes could literally already be considered one of the best in the top 100
I do.
Years?
Yes.
I do. I think he's missing from this
yes,
list, frankly.
If again, barring injuries, and I'm knocking on faux wood all around, barring injuries, I think Jeremiah Smith is going to be the greatest college wide receiver we've ever seen.
Yeah.
If his freshman year is any indication of what he'll do for the rest of his career, I think he's going to be one of the best that we've ever seen, if not the best we've ever seen. Offensive tackles are Jonathan Ogden and one of my favorites ever, Bryant McKinney.
Ooh, yeah, I love Bryant McKinney.
Number one, that Miami Hurricanes team, like, we used to get together, my team, when we were in high school, and on Saturdays we would watch the Hurricanes and we would watch Michael Vick play because my senior year of high school was Michael Vick at Virginia Tech, and you talk about must-see. Like, he was great, but that Miami squad was always so cold. But on the defensive side, Bubba Smith and Bruce Smith are the defensive ends. Shout out to Bubba Smith for being in Police Academy, all those movies. You know what I'm saying? I used to love those. Let's see. Warren Sapp was the defensive tackle. Linebackers are Jerry Robinson, Brian Bosworth, and Lawrence Taylor on the second team.
Before we skip over the defensive tackles,
Leroy Selman
is the other defensive tackle. I, once again, not a 70s guy, wasn't born yet, don't remember, don't really know who he is. I'm going to go a little biased here and say that one Haloti Ngata, Oregon Ducks defensive tackle, is actually being left off this list.
For sure.
He was, I believe, a top 10 or 12 pick in the NFL overall by the Baltimore Ravens. He was one of the best linemen, not only in college football defensive-wise, but in the NFL. He was one of the fastest linemen. I remember when he was being recruited, Oregon's big, like, claim to fame for him was that he was as big as he was running, like, a 5-second 40. Or like a 5-1 40.
Yeah, you don't want him running after you.
No, some insane time. Kind of what, like, maybe like an early version of like an edge rusher, but at the defensive tackle position, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He had that speed combined with the ability to F you up front. And I see this list and I'm like, oh, come on, put Haloti Ngata in there.
They're missing some people. They're definitely missing some people.
That's a big one for me.
They're definitely missing some people. Again, the linebackers, Jerry Robinson, Brian Bosworth, and Lawrence Taylor. It's easy to forget. Again, we look at the people's professional career mm-hmm. and say that, well, you were clearly a bust. Like you didn't make it, even though in college, he's that guy.
Yeah.
Like he's probably got every record, you know, all that stuff. Brian Bosworth was one of those ones.
Yes.
Like,
sir.
Especially, you know, he went to Seattle and everything. And I think there was a lot of excitement about what he would do in Seattle. He got ran over by Bo Jackson, and that pretty much ruined everything. It's Bo Jackson. Like, what are we talking about? Like, I can understand if it was like some small, unnamed running back that ran you over for a touchdown, but you're talking about the one cheat code that football has ever had, one of the two, Bo Jackson and Michael Vick. And that's who you got ran over by, and his career pretty much went down the drain after that. So, yeah, Brian Bosworth. But he's turned into a great actor. You see Brian Bosworth pop up in a lot of movies and stuff all of a sudden. So, shout out to him. Corners are Champ Bailey and Tyrann Mathieu. Again, Honey Badger was Honey awesome Badger. In college. Safeties, Benny Blades and Al Broski. Benny Blades, I'm a big U guy. So, if you haven't seen those documentaries of the U, Benny Blades was definitely one of those ones at the safety position. And then punter was Reggie Roby, 1981 from Iowa.
I like this conference breakdown, too. You got 7 in the Big Ten, 5 in the SEC, 4 independents, 2 ACCs, Big East, Big Eights, and then 1 from the Big 12, the MAC, making it on the list, and then 1 from the Pac-10.
Yeah, only 1 from the Pac-10, which is crazy. Or was it Pac-8 at that point? I can't tell.
I know. Well, they say Pac-10, so I'm assuming it was when it was... I'm trying to find this really quickly. Yeah. We just looked at it. Nebraska? No. Ohio State? No. Carolina? California. Ronnie Lott. Southern... Yeah, USC.
So the great thing is, you know, we've been able to see more than half of this list play before. For the guys that are a little bit older, the Dick Butkus, we know how great he was, but we didn't get a chance to really see.
Yeah, rest in peace, Dick. Yeah, we just lost you a year.
Yeah, Dick, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean... So, yeah, that's a list. You get a chance to check that out. That's on Bleacher Report if you get a chance. Cool. But yeah, I'm glad they did this because one of those things, it's summer, dog days, and we definitely needed it. You ready to wrap this joint up?
Oh, let's do it.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Football Saturday or Sports Saturday. Soon to be Football Saturday pretty soon right here, 105.1. Quick question for you, Jordan, before we get ready to get out of here.
Lay it on me.
I'm going to take you back. You're in the 90s. It's mid-90s.
Oh, so right? Like 6, okay.
Let's say you're a teenager in the mid 90s.
Okay. Right?
Let's say you're a high school kid. You're a senior.
Okay. All right.
Right.
So I'm wearing weird glasses and I look like I just came out of the 80s but haven't figured anything out yet.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Prom's coming up. You can ask one of these TV ladies to prom.
Oh, okay.
I need to know who it is and why. There is Ashley Banks from Fresh Prince. Kelly Kapowski. Kelly Bundy, Kimberly from the Power Rangers.
Yeah, duh.
DJ Tanner.
I was hoping she would come up with the Pink Power Rangers.
Yeah, DJ Tanner, Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell, and Topanga Lawrence.
See, I just met Topanga about a month ago.
Does she have dope kicks?
Beautiful human being, by the way.
Like, I can
they
imagine.
Were all really nice. Ryder Strong, Danielle Fishel, the woman
my
who played
favorite television
Topanga
show,
and Wilfred L.
One of my two favorite TV shows of all time.
Boy Meets World.
And the other one is The Wonder Years.
Oh, man. The Savage
Brothers.
Entertainment, like, umbrella, like, from the 80s and 90s. Yeah, Fred and Ben, man, kind of ruled. But, yeah, I think it's a toss-up for me. Like, yeah, Kelly Kapowski, sure. But, like, I think it's a toss-up for me between Topanga and the Pink Power Ranger. There are... No lengths I would not go to spend a night with either of those. Let's just say.
I never understood the appeal of Kimberly from Power Rangers.
I don't know, bro. When I go back and watch it, I'm still like, yep, give me Kimberly. I almost said something very dirty on the radio, and I'm glad
Well,
I
we're on
myself.
FM now, so I think you can get away with some
of it. Oh, no, I really can't get away with it now, brother.
Yeah, we got a little more of a leash now, you know, now that we're here. For me, it's a no-brainer. And this goes back to me being a kid. The answer is Topanga. I remember the day that Topanga got hot on the show. It was the episode where she accidentally cut her hair or something like that.
Really?
She cut her hair off. If she was always cute, don't
get
me wrong.
The season 1 to 2, because my wife and I have been watching this.
She was kind of weird. She was kind of the weird, earthy girl.
And then season 2, she comes back and, oh, you're a woman now.
Yeah.
And I remember Sean and Corey in the show, they're like, whoa, like, yes, we went through puberty over the summer. It happens. Like, welcome.
Yeah, there's a scene. She cuts her hair.
Yes.
And, like, goes to the beauty salon, and then she, like, walks into a room after her hair is cut, and I was like,
hello,
oh, my
goodbye.
God.
Goodbye. I am so at the mall. Yeah, that episode.
And it was
about.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah. Topanga is super fresh. She's, listen, a lot of white girls don't have put the collagen and stuff in their lips to kind of give
to
them
to match Topanga.
She always had those full
naturally,
lips.
Naturally.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, yeah, Topanga is definitely the person that she's the one crush that I've had since, or at least when I was a kid. Like, so if there is an opportunity to go to prom at that point, she's definitely first. After that is Ashley Banks. Like,
okay, I get that.
Listen, man, as a young black boy growing up,
she's hot.
Man, hey, Tatiana Ali at that point, Ashley from Fresh Prince was so fresh to me. And she was like right around my age. So it was like, yeah, she's super dope to me. Is there anybody that's like that I'm missing from the 90s? It's like, because I tried to choose like a lot of like teenage based.
Yeah,
people.
Like I feel like that there's one or two we're forgetting. And honestly, like the fact that DJ Tanner is even on the list is kind of hilarious to me.
Because I was always a Stephanie fan.
Ditto.
Stephanie was always bad
right
to me.
Right now, yeah. Jodie Sweetin.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, she's super hot. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm
not
sure.
Give me a night with Jodie Sweetin if I were single.
I'm not sure what happened, like, but she grew up and. Yeah, Stephanie is super super fresh. So, yeah,
goodness.
I'm looking at a list right here. I can show you here. I'm not sure why DJ Tanner was on here because I think she would come in
dead
probably
last.
A great person. I'm sure she's an amazing person. You
she
know, probably got a great personality.
I never saw her as like a hot. I don't.
Nah.
We are being so objectifying
so
right now because she'd look at me
here.
And be like, well, you're not a hot either. And
so
I'd be like, you know what?
Here.
You're right.
Like, yeah.
We're not hots calling each other not hots.
No,
it's equal.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I would definitely, man, if I got a chance to get a Topanga at that point, man, that would have been my all-time.
Oh, today. I'd ask Topanga. If it was an available option to me, I'd do that today.
How was the Boy Meets Pod
the
thing?
Pod Meets, well, yeah, so they do, a rewatch podcast, which is kind of all the rage now with 90s and early 2000s shows. But Pod Meets World, it contains Topanga, Sean, and Eric. No Corey, Ben Savage, the guy that plays Corey. But
he didn't get along with them. He seems like a kind of a jerk. Looking.
Apparently, and this is according to Wilford L., like he said this at the show, the guy that plays Eric, or played Eric, he's like, yeah, we literally haven't heard from him in like 2 or 3 years. There have been unanswered text messages to the point where he is just Ben Savage Corey is ignoring the rest of the cast. So we don't know why. But the show itself, really fun. Thankfully, my wife and I were like, we're splurging, we're doing this. We're paying for a meet and greet after with these guys. And we were the second people to go. I think there was a line of like 60 to 70 people. And we were thankful that we were up front because we knew they were going to be exhausted by the end of it. But we got a nice moment with them, got a lot of pictures. I got to tell them how much I appreciated their show, kind of before the days of The Office, kind of being that comfort show and people streaming stuff for comfort.
I still watch Boy Meets World.
Exactly.
All the time.
It was such a blessing for me just to be able to tell them, hey, you guys, you were that comfort blanket for me. And every time I needed like just some kind of semblance of normalcy in my crazy life, I turned your program on, so thank you so much.
Who didn't grow up wanting a relationship like Corey and Topanga? Who didn't grow up wanting something similar to that? Like, I mean, that just...
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of, because of the messaging, strove towards that, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just to love one person, no matter what we go through, no matter what happens, like, it's unrealistic. When you're a kid, you see how unrealistic love is, you know, seriously, as a young kid, like you tell yourself, oh, we'll be together forever through all the stuff, through all these things. You're so immature. You don't know any better
at
that point.
That's actually one point of the pod that I really appreciate them pointing out is that it's not necessarily the best example of a relationship that Corey and Topanga had. There were a lot of things that were pushed that shouldn't have been pushed.
It was toxic at a point.
Yeah, you look at the time watching and be like, yeah, I want that relationship. Looking back, yeah, I don't know. I think Topanga should have just put out for Corey once, so he would have moved on.
Yeah, he would have moved on and did something else.
Topanga,
you know what I mean?
Could have gone to freaking Yale.
Corey would have been whipped. He would have been there the entire time, man. So he wasn't going no place, man.
That's true.
Well, this is fun, man. Jordan, I appreciate you, my guy.
I love you, brother. Love everybody out there.
We don't need Joe, right? We can do this on our own. But he is going to be back, and we did miss the homie today. So next week, I think the whole crew will be here. Talk some more football. Oh, Dylan Gabriel just threw a pick six, by the way. So I don't know if Oregon fan wants to know that. But there it is right there. So you can catch a lot of the preseason on football on TV today. I'm not sure what channels, but they're all over the place right now. I am going to go celebrate my mom today. Mom, happy birthday to you. I love you. Jordan, thank you so much, my guy.
Yeah, appreciate you. Love you all out there as well.
All right. For Jordan Schultz, I'm Rashad Taylor. We will see y'all next time. Peace.